wide today. So, amen. With that, I want to open with a word of prayer and then we'll get started. Most glorious Lord God, we love you and we thank you for this day. Lord, we thank you for all the mercy and the blessings and the provisions that you have gave us throughout this year. Lord, we ask you to continue to bless us and provide for us as we go forward and look forward into a new year. Lord, we're going to be serving you in 2021 in ways we've never imagined. We found out in 2020 that we would serve you in ways that we never imagined. And we're excited, or I'm excited, about how this all is going to play out next year. Lord, I still have that youthful exuberance, waking up to see what the day holds, and I just love you. I ask you to bless the time we have together, and I ask you to do that in your precious and holy name. Amen.
Good morning, everyone. Please stand.
Softly and tenderly, Jesus is calling.
I was off in another world thinking about when I got called, calling old sinner come home. That was me, you know, a while back. We have two birthdays today, or for this week. Michael Brower Jr. and Penny Lucas. Are there any other birthdays this week? All right, let's sing happy birthday. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, God bless you. Happy birthday to you.
Stand. This one you guys know, so you can sing along.
Die.
We don't have a lot of announcements. We're at the end of the year. You can still bring things for the food pantry, and you can leave them in the foyer. That's an ongoing ministry, and we'll be happy to distribute them. The Ladies' Circle will meet the first Tuesday of each month, unless otherwise posted. The Baptist Men usually meet the first Monday of every month, and I think we're going to... are we going to meet this coming Monday? Baptist Men? We meeting, it's the first Monday of the new year. We're going to meet? Yep, we're going to meet. I'll make a command decision. We're going to meet. So 6:30, 7 o'clock, Monday Fellowship Hall, Baptist Men. Also, praises and prayer requests. Remember the Lucas family as they continue to grieve the loss of Cleve Sr. Remember the Crabtree family. They haven't lost a family member yet, but they are struggling with the virus of the day. Also, Clayton came home from the hospital, and he's doing pretty good. Miss Mabel went to the hospital yesterday. She fell either early in the morning. Anyway, they went to the hospital, and she had fractures in her pelvis. Her hips are good, but she's 94. So keep her in your prayers. Miss Mabel, when she was in the emergency room, they tested her, and nobody's been around her, and she hadn't been anywhere, but she tested positive. So the family had seen her in the hospital, and they moved her to where they can't see her. So pray for Miss Mabel. Pray for that whole family. Miss Sandy's doing good. I've seen pictures of her and an elf in Santa Claus. She looked good. My mom's doing good. Are there any other additions to the prayer list? Any praises? Gone.
We actually got to see my mom, and that was so good. It was sweet. We didn't really get to see her that close, but just being in the same room with her, this warmed your spirit.
Yeah.
And I thank the Lord for being able to see her, she wishes everybody a all her world.
She loves everybody
in this church. She's ready to come back.
She's telling
me
that.
She said, I'm ready for you to pick me up. Bring me to the church.
John. I hear you. Yeah. Well, we long for the day for that to happen. And I know how it is when they use the first name. Yes, they're pretty adamant about it. Any other praises or prayer requests? Elsie Black, her service is when? Tomorrow? Tuesday. Any others? Santa Claus was good. Biggest thing we had to do was teach a child how to. Hold on. Yes.
You know anything about Wayne?
I know that Wayne had came home, and I knew that Wayne has gone back, but I hadn't heard anything else. And so that's all I know right now. Continue to pray for those on the prayer list. Any others? Any other praises? All right, let's go to Lord in prayer. Most glorious Lord God, we love you and we thank you for this day. Lord, we thank you for each one of these on the prayer list. Lord, you know their circumstances, you know their needs, you know their heart. We lift them up to you for your healing, your countenance, your whatever. You're in control. Lord, we just love you. And we know that all things work for your glory, even though we may not understand them. We just trust you, and we know that for those of us that have lost loved ones, Lord, I just pray that you would wrap your arms around them. I pray you would draw them close to you so that they could feel your presence and know that you're the only one, Lord, that can heal a broken heart, that we can see our loved ones again because they have a relationship with you. You provided that way for us to be reunited forever. Lord, we just know that we miss being with each other. We miss worshiping together. And Lord, we ask you to help us have a speedy recovery and a speedy demise to this epidemic that's going on. Lord, you caused us to rethink and reset a lot of things. And Lord, we trust you in all of it. We ask you, Lord, to bless the time we have here together. May the word that we preach or sing and profess, Lord, touch the hearts of those who need it and lift up those who want it and pierce the darkness where the light needs to shine. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Please stand one more time.
Oh, Lord, my God, when I in awesome wonder consider all the world thy hands have made, I see the stars, I hear the rolling thunder, thy power throughout the universe just made.
You have your Bibles, if you'll go ahead and turn to John chapter 2. I been praying and thinking and praying some more about where we ought to go and what we ought to do and be looking at in the new year. And everything about the Bible points to Jesus Christ. Everything about the church should be about Jesus Christ. Everything that we do, everything that we say should be about Jesus Christ. It was God's plan for him to come to this earth. It was God's plan for him to live his life and to pick his disciples. And it was God's plan for all that. And so I'm going to read in chapter 2, probably go from verse 1 to 11, somewhere in there. And here at Christmas, going into the new year, I think it's appropriate that we think about the miracles that Jesus performed in the mundane. And that's what this was. And so with that, as we read from chapter 2, starting in verse 1 to verse 11, it says, "And the third day there was a marriage in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there, and both Jesus was called and his disciples to the marriage. And when they wanted wine, the mother of Jesus saith unto him, They have no wine. And Jesus said to her, Woman, what does that have to do with thee? Mine hour has not yet come. His mother said unto the servants, Whatever soweth he saith unto you, do it. And there were set there six water pots of stone, after the manner of purifying of the Jews, containing 2 to 3 firkins apiece, which is 20 to 30 gallons. And Jesus saith unto them, Fill the water pots with water. And they filled them to the brim. And he said unto them, Draw out now, and bear unto the governor of the feast. And they bear it out. And when the ruler of the feast had tasted the water that was made wine, and knew not whence it was, but the servants which drew the water knew, the governor of the feast called the bridegroom, and saith unto him, Every man at the beginning doth set out good wine, and when men have well drunk, then that which is worst, but thou hast kept the good until now. This beginning of miracles did Jesus in Cana of Galilee, and manifested forth his glory, and his disciples believed on him." Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father God, we love you and we thank you for this. We ask you, Lord, to open this up to us so that we can understand how you operate. How you operate today, the same as you did then, and the same you will do tomorrow. Lord, you are constant. You cannot lie, you cannot change. Otherwise, you would not be who you are. Lord, we trust you. I pray, God, that you would allow me to be able to explain this for the benefit of others. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Jesus was invited to a wedding, and his mother was there. And there was a lot of things going on at that wedding. You know, most of us have been to weddings before. Like most weddings today, as many as we've been to, each bride probably likes to think her wedding is the most special and the most unique of any wedding. It may be from the venue they choose. It may be from the gowns they choose for their bridesmaids and their maid of honor, which they'll never wear again. And it may be the vows they've written. But the one thing that stands true is the ritual is the same. The order of business is the same of the wedding. The groom comes out and he stands with his groomsmen. And then there's a hint of music played. The back door opens or at the venue and lets us outside. And here comes the bride down the aisle. And everybody stands and looks at how beautiful she is. And rightly so, because it's her day. Well, the same thing was going on in Jesus' day. Not like our weddings, but their weddings. All Jewish weddings were the same. And they had a form to it. And so Running out of wine is a terrible thing. It's a terrible thing. I mean, going to a wedding and the wedding runs out of food, that's bad enough. But at the time that this was set, if you were having a wedding and you ran out of wine, you could be legally liable. The whole village could sue you because you went to their wedding and they didn't run out. You gypped them. I mean, think about that. You gypped them. It was more of a social thing than anything. And most everybody was right. We hear at the end that, you know, they saved the best to the last. But what I want to hit on is, it says the third day there was a marriage in Cana. Now, most folks think that Jesus was baptized, da-da-da-da-da, and this is the third day. I don't think that, personally. I believe it was the third day since he had called Nathan. But that's just me. You know, and there's some debate to that, and that's okay. But Jesus and his disciples were invited to the wedding, and this is the first of many stories suggesting that Jesus was always welcome among those having a good time. Jesus didn't spoil the good time, and in the Jewish culture of that day, a wedding was the best party of all. You know, one old tradition says that it was John, the gospel writer's wedding, and he left his bride at the altar after seeing this miracle. This should be regarded as a pleasant but unlikely story. There's a whole lot of things floating around, and some have taught that the strange idea that this was the wedding of Jesus himself, including there's a sect of Latter-day Saints that teach this. And this is also believed some of the New Age thinking, of course, this is against the plain meaning of the passage. And any of the history that we have, Jesus did not marry, except the church. The fact that Jesus was invited to the wedding has several implications. The invitation of Jesus to the wedding was something about the kind of man Jesus was. Now you have to understand, he was in Galilee. People knew him. Spurgeon writes this: the invitation of Jesus to the wedding says something about the presence of Jesus at weddings. Jesus comes to a marriage and gives his blessing there that we may know that our family life is under his care. Think about that. Why do you think when we perform weddings, we invoke Jesus? Why do we tell you what man puts together, what God draws together, let no man separate? Why do we say all that? Because God is in the center of marriage. Who ordained it? God ordained marriage. And the mother of Jesus was there. And you know, there was no mention of Joseph, but the explanation most probably is that by this time he was either dead, most folks think. It would seem that Joseph died sometime before this. But you don't read a lot about Joseph after the return from Egypt. Quite soon, and that's the reason why Jesus spent 18 long years in Nazareth, was that he had to take upon himself the support of his mother and his family. That seems to be the traditional belief. You know, it was only when his younger brothers and sisters were able to look after their mom that he decided that he would leave home. And that, you know, is kind of, that's kind of iffy. Jesus left home when it was time for him to start his ministry. Period. You know, and the wedding with no wine, you know, that's a bad thing. I've hit on a little bit earlier. And when they ran out of wine, the mother of Jesus said to him, "They have no wine." You know, and Jesus responded to her, "Woman, what's that got to do with me? My time has not yet come." And then she turns around and tells the servant, "Do whatever he tells you to do." I mean, think about that. Do we have that much faith in Jesus, like his mother? Go before him, make our request, and then turn around and tell the folks, whatever he leads you to do, do. And walks off. She walks off and goes back out doing whatever it is she's doing. Think about that. We as his followers, do we have that much faith in Christ? Can we take our petitions to him? Can we lay them at his feet and turn around and tell those around us, whatever he tells you to do, do? Or do we have to put him in a box, set parameters, help him with his miracles? See, running out of wine at a wedding was a major social mistake. It would bring shame upon the couple, and it would bring shame upon the families. The wedding was supposed to be the best party of all. For a host to fail in providing adequate hospitality, partially in the form of food and drink, was a great dishonor. Think about it. And our own weddings, those of us that have been married, there was enough there to make sure that nobody went out of there without. Some believe that the presence of the disciples, though as uninvited guests, made the wine run out faster than expected. That's people's got crazy ideas about things. The text gives no evidence of this. You know, besides that, it says they were invited. And besides, at that day, rabbis thought wine as a symbol of joy. In fact, at the building of King Solomon's temple, it tells you in the scripture how they were paid with corn, wine, and oil. So corn and wine and oil, well, all of these things were commodities. And to run out was bad. I mean, it was just socially unacceptable. Think about it. That would be like going to a party today and forgetting to take your phone. Get cramps in your fingers. You might get a cramp in your jaws because you hadn't used them in so long. No, I'm just... Additionally, you know, therefore, to run out of wine would almost have been equivalent to admitting that neither the guest nor the bride and the groom were happy. We're happy. That's like tossing of the rice and cutting of the cake and all, you know, these things are to make sure that everybody knows how happy they are. You ever seen a couple get married and walk out with frowns on their faces? No. Might a couple days later, but not that day. So we don't know exactly why Mary brought that problem to her son. Perhaps she anticipated the day that Jesus would miraculously demonstrate that he was the Messiah. When people saw that Jesus was the Messiah, it would also vindicate Mary, you know, who lived under the shadow of pregnancy and birth that many people questioned. It wasn't wrong for Mary to sense that the time had come for her son to enter public ministry. You know, she knew he had been baptized by John and confirmed with a heavenly sign, but had been publicly introduced as the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world in the previous chapter, and had begun to gather his disciples together. Think about that. The calling of the disciples in themselves. 12 ordinary, run-of-the-mill men who would wind up changing the world. Woman, what does this concern have to do? Jesus spoke to his mother with a term of respect, but he did not call her mother. Jesus wanted to emphasize that now, at the beginning of his public ministry, he now had a different relationship with Mary. Woman, so far from being rough and discourteous way to address, it was still a title of respect. We have no way of speaking in English which exactly renders it, but it's better to translate it lady, which gives at least the courtesy in it. Instead of saying woman, he could have said, lady, what does this have to do with me? Jesus indicated that there was a new relationship between him and his mother. She sought his help now. She must not seek it on the basis of mother and son relationship, but on the basis of a follower in Christ, a Savior and a sinner. Most assuredly, I say to you, the Son can do nothing of himself. Think about this. He can only do what his Father allows him to do. Him and his Father are the same. He will indeed take the action, as she was very sure of. He would then, and she told the servants, and Jesus in his public ministry was not only or primarily the Son of Mary, but he was the Son of Man. He was the Son of God, who was bringing the realities of heaven to men. New relationships were being established, and Mary must not presume that she could intervene into that as mother. My hour has not yet come. This expression, mine hour, is generally used in John at the time of the death of Jesus on the cross. But it is only so used because his death and those passages are subject naturally underlying the narrative. It is any fixed or appointed time. It is not mine time. It was not Jesus' time to be glorified. It was not Jesus' time to suffer. It was not Jesus' appointed time for him to fulfill the prophecy. And then deliberately go through Mary to get to Jesus is to regard Jesus as hard-hearted and Mary as tender-hearted. This concept is totally alien from the Bible, and it comes from mother-son ideas prevalent in pagan religions. We go straight to God. We go straight to Jesus. For me to be saved, I went straight to Jesus. I didn't have to get my mother's permission to be saved. The recorded words of Mary are few, and these particular words have an anticipation beyond the immediate occasion which called them forth. Think about that. She knew he was going to do what he asked. Now there were 6 water pots of stone according to the manner of purification of the Jews, containing 20 to 30 gallons apiece. They filled them to the brim. He began his ministry and his miracles by using what was at hand. They had plenty of pots and plenty of water. I mean, that's like, if it's 30, you know, like, that's a lot of wine. According to the manner of purification, the water pots are connected with the system of the law because they were used for ceremonial purification. Containing 20 or 30 gallons apiece, Spurgeon saw significance for preachers in John's approximate number. He said, let us always seek correctly sometimes, almost, or thereabout, with the words that will just save our truthfulness. Let us not speak positively when we do not know, and when the accuracy of a statement is necessary and we cannot give it in terms that are definite, let us give it in words like these, containing 2 or 3 firkins apiece. 20 or 30. The number of gallons is irrelevant. The fact that he was taking water and changing it into wine. He said, fill the pots. And the servants did exactly what he said. But he knew that the servants shared in the work. They also shared in the blessing. They shared in his blessing. The servants did not do the miracle. Their effort alone were completely insignificant. But because of their obedience to Jesus, they shared in the joy of the miracle. The miracle was 100% Jesus. They were obedient. They got to share in the joy of the miracle. The miracles that we get to participate in is because of our obedience and the fact that God has allowed us to witness. They filled them up to the brim. If they were lazy and only filled the water pots half full, there would only have been half as much wine. But they filled them up to the brim. The water pots were filled to the brim with no room to add any more. Because Jesus wasn't going to add anything to the water. He was going to transform it. You remember when Moses took the bitter water and made it sweet? What did he do? He added a limb to it or a branch. The pattern of faith and obedience, when you are bidden to believe in Him up to the brim. How many of us have only believed in Him half full? How many of us only believe in Him quarter full? Just a few drops. How many of us believe in Him to the brim and it's rolling out and pouring out? And so as we go forward, and they proclaim that this was the best wine of ever, the best at the last, opposite of what society expects. Where are we today in that realm? Where are we today in that spectrum of our service to God? Are we filled to the brim and pouring out? Are we obedient and witnessing miracles? Are we the best wine at the last? Or are we short? Are we empty? Are we half obedient? Full obedient. Where are we at? Only you know. As we go into the new year, we need to be. Look at it. See where it's at. If you don't have a relationship with Jesus Christ, hit me up. Today's the day. Our pots should be filled to the brim. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father God, we love You and we thank You for this day. Lord, I ask You to bless us as we go forward. To teach us to be obedient. To let us forever serve You. Let our pots and ceremonial cleansing be to the brim. Lord, let You take regular water that was inside of us and turn it into the wine of perfection so we can serve You with all of our hearts and with all of our minds and with all of our strength and all of our soul. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
We're going to sing I'll Fly Away one more time.
John, can you close in prayer, please? Precious Heavenly Father, thank you for gathering our people together today. Thank you for our many blessings this year and all the years you've provided us. So grateful for all you do for us every day. Watch over us, watch over our family and our friends. Keep us safe. Watch over those that are traveling aboard. Watch over our country, our military, our first responders. Keep them all safe, Lord. Thank you for all and everything you do for us every day. In Jesus' name, amen.